This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hello, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught you in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. How are you doing, Rich?
Hey, I'm doing great. How is your world today?
My world is great. It is quiet, no baby.
Nice. This week I was at a church that was really cool that I thought you might think is kind of cool. It's called The Fields Church in Mattoon, Illinois. I have a problem pronouncing that. It's a fantastic church. Yeah, and it's pretty neat. So fantastic church. Love the team there. They're doing some interesting things. But actually, I don't know if you saw, I posted it on Instagram earlier this week, but they have this really cool thing at the front of their church. Literally what they did was when they renovated, it was about, I think, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, what they did was they put an entire kind of play place on the front of their church. It's actually indoors because they're in like a place where you can't really be outdoors much of the year.
Right.
And inside, actually, it's a play place that's open for free to people in the community. So moms come and hang out all day long. There's coffee, Wi-Fi, chance to hang out with friends. I thought, you know, you're a young mom with a young child. You might think that's kind of cool.
It is so cool. We have something kind of similar in Aurelia, but we don't go obviously every day. We just have one day a week that we go with a bunch of girlfriends, and it's really fun. And it's a great time for us just kind of fellowship together and get our kiddos together where we can vent and just have fun. I did see your post and I was super jealous because that is like next level.
And you know, Travis and who's the lead pastor there, and Evan, who's executive pastor, good friends of mine, great people. And, you know, I got thinking as I saw that, you know, why is it that so many churches invest so heavily in kids ministry? And so that leads us really to today's article, which is five reasons kids ministry is so important to churches that want to break the 1,000 barrier. So that's really what we're talking about today.
I'm excited. I love Kidsmen, and I've seen it on both spectrums, executed really well, executed not so well. So I'm really excited to dive into this with you.
No, that's great. So yeah, like I think one of those commonalities when you look at churches that have jumped over. So, you know, we've talked about this before. Only 2% of all churches will ever grow beyond 1,000 people. So it really is the radical minority. The vast majority of churches will never, or haven't to date. It would be great if more did, but haven't to date been able to jump over that barrier. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed as I've had a chance to work with a lot of churches over the years is, regardless of kind of style or theological conviction or approach to ministry, there are a few things that stick out that are common to churches that have jumped over 1,000. And one of those is that they all have amazing kids ministries. They have these incredible ministries to the next generation. And so that's really what this is about. So and today what I want to do is pull apart, particularly for churches that maybe are facing that 1,000 barrier. I'm hoping that this will inspire you to actually maybe invest more, give more leadership to what's happening in your kids ministry.
Yeah, that is, I'm so excited about this. We've seen it executed, you know, very well at the church we attend. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes back to our volunteers, which is our first point. Mm-hmm. It takes a village to raise your kids, but I mean, it also takes a village to run those environments.
Absolutely. So yeah, most kids ministries, when you get kind of behind the scenes and look at your total number of volunteers, it's usually somewhere around 50% of all the volunteers in the church are within the kids ministry. And so, or within family ministry more broadly, kind of student, you know, birth through, say, students, which is a tremendous amount of volunteers. Now, something happens with churches that are trying to jump this 1,000 barrier around volunteers, and it's a critical kind of mindset shift. What happens is churches go from thinking, "Oh my goodness, we don't have enough volunteers," to "Oh my goodness, we don't have enough volunteers." And you're like, "What? What's the difference between those two?" The point when churches are trying to grow over 1,000, actually, what you want to do is actually be looking for more places to get more people plugged in. Because what happens is you realize the more people that are plugged into your ministry and serving, the more people that will understand your vision, they're more likely to tell their friends, because if you can convince someone to volunteer, the chance of them telling their friends about the fact that they're volunteering and they're part of your church goes way up. And, you know, so actually kids ministry becomes an incredible engine for placing volunteers, which, you know, again, with smaller churches, people are trying to figure out how to do it with less, but actually larger churches are trying to figure out how to do it with more. You're actually trying to create more opportunities for people to serve. And we know that, kids ministry takes in a tremendous amount of volunteers to make it happen.
It really does. Oh man. Sometimes I'm like, I'm so excited just to drop my daughter off.
Yes.
And I feel so bad for those people. I don't know how they do it week in and week out, but I mean, that investment into our kids' life is huge.
Yeah, it's true. It's amazing. You know, one of the things, and I think one of the reasons why it's so good is kids ministry people and kids ministry, you know, kind of leaders when they're in serving in there, they really are, they invest themselves in improving what they're doing. You know, every week when you have lots of kids showing up, you know, you can't kind of just phone it in. You've got to do a good job because you'll get instant feedback from children on whether it's working or not working. And that's a really good thing to kind of permeate your volunteer culture with, you know, people who are kind of got their head around not only volunteering, but then also improving in their volunteering experience as they're serving with you.
So, I mean, we're talking about churches that want to break 1,000 barrier. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of rattling around in my head mm-hmm. when I was reading this article.
Yep.
I mean, how many people, how many volunteers, do you think that a church would need trying to break that 1,000 barrier in their kids' ministry?
Okay, so this is a really good question. I'm glad you asked. This is next level. You're asking a next level question, Vanessa. So there's an interesting, what I call the rule of thirds that happens in churches. And you see it all the time. And I challenge actually, you know, church leaders to think about this. And your church may be the exception. I have bumped into exceptions. But a lot of churches, about a third of their their total attendance are volunteers serving in some ministry in the church. So, you know, that number is really persistent. So, you know, you'll see a lot of times that, you know, regardless of the size of church. So if it's a church of 300, there'll be somewhere close to 100 people volunteering total in all ministries. And then if it's a church of, you know, 1,000, there'll be somewhere around 300. So now with this, we know kids ministry typically ends up about 50% of the volunteer team. So we're talking somewhere around 150 volunteers really would be required in a kids ministry that, you know, is serving a church of 1,000. Now, the reason why this is a little bit of a next level idea is churches that are growing have picked up on this rule of thirds. And what they've said is, well, what if we grow our total number of people serving? If we get more people serving, what will happen? And actually, one of the leading indicators to growth is actually more volunteers. So what you want to do is actually acquire and release and train more volunteers. And that will actually, you'll actually ultimately see more people come to the church because you have, you know, again, more people fired up for the vision, more people, you know, excited to be a part of what the, you know, church is all about. So yeah, I would say around about 150 volunteers would be required if the kind of averages work out in your church.
So that answer is so awesome. And I think that it's really interesting in kids' environments. One thing that I really love, especially with our church, is in my daughter's age group, there are kids mm-hmm. that are just a couple years older than her. So like kind of that next generation. And I love seeing that. Mm-hmm. I love seeing that next generation instilling the love of Jesus into younger kids' life. And they love it too. Mm-hmm. So that's our next point, talking mm-hmm. about the next generation and how they're going to impact kids ministry.
Yeah. Okay. So this point's almost a little bit philosophical, but you know, churches that are able to reach over 1,000, that are able to break that barrier, fundamentally aren't about the people who are attending that church. They're not about keeping, they're about reaching. They're about looking beyond themselves. They're about saying, hey, who's not here yet that we want to reach out to? And what kids ministry kind of lives that out internally, because what, you know, making an investment in the next generation by putting kind of your best leaders and by resourcing it well financially and by, you know, ensuring that great things happen there, that you're making a decision. You're saying it's important for us to invest in the next generation. And as you're saying, then, you know, even functionally, the cool thing that happens is kids ministry requires us all to jump in board and kind of help the next generation. And I really do think that idea of like college students who serve high school students, who turn and serve middle school students, who then turn and serve elementary students and so on, is just such a powerful thing to weave into the core of the culture of your church. And really, and I've seen that with my own kids as they've grown up through church, you know, they've been volunteering and helping throughout all those years. And it really has created in them, you know, this service mindset that really is bigger than what I can provide as a parent. It's really an incredible opportunity for them.
I think it's really interesting too, because your kids, that next generation has already gone through everything that they're mm-hmm. currently going through. Mm-hmm. And so now there's that bit of like relevance. It's, you know, easier to start establishing those connections and those relationships on a deeper level. And I think the trust comes a little bit quicker as well versus more of a parent figure to a child in mm-hmm. Kids Min. Mm-hmm. And that's still really important, I think. Mm-hmm. I just look ahead at the years to come. And I think, you know, having somebody in a college level coming down to that next level for kids saying, hey, I just walked through this and this is how I navigated it. And I'm here to help you and support you through it. Mm-hmm. I think that is really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, camps leverage this same idea, right? That, you know, a 16, 17 year old, you know, there's not much cooler to like a 10 year old than someone who's 16 or 17 years old. Like
so that, true.
You know, someone who's just a little bit older, they're like just a little bit more mature. But they're also young enough that they've still got a lot of energy and they're kind of hip enough. They know what the kids are into these days, which is just really powerful for sure. And a great thing to ripple out through your church.
So we're going to talk about Disney.
Yes. Rick,
have you ever been to Disney before?
Of course I have. Come on.
Have you taken the kids to Disney?
Yes. So one thing you don't know about us, Vanessa, we are like massive Disney fans. So I've been to Disney World 20 some odd times. So been there a ton. Now, not that many times with our kids. Probably, you know, we were kind of on the every 18 months to 2 years rhythm with our kids from about when they were three. So however many that times that is, and we now have late teenagers. So, and I'm, you know, I'm itching to go again because it's been a while. It's been a couple years since we've gone. So, but this, you know, really churches that leverage great kids ministry do leverage what I call the Disney effect. How about you? When was the last time you were at Disney World or, you know, in part of that kind of orbit?
Okay. Well, I feel kind of silly saying this to you. I have never been to Disney ever.
Sorry, we have to end this podcast. We can't talk anymore.
I'm itching to go. My best friend just got back with her family and loved it. They did a cruise and said it was just so much fun.
Yes.
But they did say that age at three is the perfect time to go. So I think that's what we're going to wait for.
Yeah, absolutely. That I would echo that. And this could be a whole Disney podcast, but that's a great place. That's a great time to start. And they've done an amazing thing and actually kind of talk about this in the article. Disney has done this amazing thing. And this actually just has continued over the last number of years where they're trying what they call lifespan entertainment. They're trying to develop a company that literally from the moment your child is born, all the way through, you know, their life, they're trying to create offerings that can kind of keep you within their, you know, their orbit, their entertainment orbit. And they, you know, they do that in just such a great way. Obviously, you know, actually interesting statistic. I don't know if you know this, but actually last year, so 2016, the top five grossing films, all five of them were produced by Disney, and they were produced by the five different production units. So Marvel, Star Wars, Disney Pictures, Pixar, and then I'm missing one, whatever the fifth one is, which is, and that really what that's showing from an investor point of view, it's showing that their approach really is working. They're trying to create this kind of holistic, you know, entertainment enterprise. What does that matter to us? You know, when I was in college, I worked for the Disney stores, which was fun.
And that's next level.
And one of the things that I was struck by in one of our trainings was, you know, one of the trainers, it was an offhanded comment that has stuck with me. You know, she said, you know, part of the reasons why Disney works from a business practical, you know, point of view, a practical business point of view, is that typically families go together to movies. They don't go, you know, you don't have a lot of, you know, 5 year olds that go in to watch movies by themselves. Or that's, you know, not the same with, say, a, you know, rated R movie or like an adult accompaniment movie where, you know, there may only be one or two people that go and see that. So, you know, where the average kind of home is, you know, maybe 3 to 4 people, you know, on older movies is either one or two. So what that's done from a growth point of view for Disney is it actually drives more people to the movie theater when they focus on families. The same is true when you focus your church on families that, you know, and there's a lot of research done on this. I didn't really reference all this, but there's research out there around, you know, kind of what is the beachhead for having kind of encouraging families to attend. There's a school of thought that says, you know, focus on kind of dad. If you can, if you get dad to come to your church, then, you know, the his wife and kids will follow. You know, there is some school of thought that is kind of the opposite of that, that says, actually, you should start with mom. And, you know, then, you know, the kids will come. And then there's this whole, still a whole other school of thought that actually just start with kids, do a great job with kids. And what'll happen is if you do a fantastic job with kids, it's pretty hard to say no to wanting to go to church when your kid says, hey, can we go to church next weekend? And so a lot of times what you'll find is in growing, thriving churches, you see that dynamic. Kids are having an amazing time. They're having a lot of fun. And although the parents may be reticent to come back, or they're just nervous to come back, or they're, it's not like they hate it, but they're, you know, they've got stuff going on. The kids are like, please, mom and dad, we need to go to church this weekend because whatever the fun thing is that's going on there this weekend.
And I mean, for those parents, it's kind of, I joke with my friends, cause I love our kids' environment. So I say, you know, even if you're not, going to connect with the message, just think that you have an hour to yourself just to sit with no screaming kids, and they're going to have a blast. You're not going to get called out. It's, you know, very unlikely. And it's true. A lot of our friends have come back to church because of a successful kids' environment.
Absolutely. In this article, I talk about, you know, years ago. So this was 15 years ago. Oh gosh, it might be even longer than that. I was actually, and I don't reference this in the article, but I don't talk about specifically who it was, but I was actually standing at the back of a Kid Stuff theater at North Point in Atlanta, and was watching Reggie and his team do what they, I don't even know if they do it anymore, this Kid Stuff month. At that point, they were doing it weekly, and then it became monthly, environment that was really focused on parents and kids attending church together. And I remember I was standing at the back of the room, and I was watching Reggie do his thing, and I literally was moved to tears. I was like, the amount of effort and energy that this church is investing to try to reach families and impact families was, again, we've been saying, take it to a whole new level today. But it is, you know, it really was that. And that, you know, that you know, in a lot of ways has continued through not only North Point as a movement in Atlanta, but then the broader kind of partner structure around North America. And that, I think, is an example of how you can leverage kids ministry to make a difference and ultimately drive, you know, overall church growth as churches try to look to jump over this 1,000 barrier.
Yeah, it is really interesting to sort of see. I've attended a couple of times at North Point and to see their kids' environments and the amount of energy that does go into it. And I mean, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of people behind it, you know, pushing that movement. And I think a lot of that does come from our next point of having creative leaders that staffed to help push that movement, to help kind of bring it to life. Because I mean, this is, let's face it, it's not a one man job here. Like you need people around you to help you support
you
through it.
The Big C Church needs more creative leaders. You know, and again, we've talked about this in the past at On Seminary, 94% of all churches in North America are losing ground against the growth of the communities they're in. And there really is an imperative that we find creative solutions to solve this. And, you know, for years I've been saying that, you know, the most creative people are in kids ministry. And that's not just me. Sometimes I think kids ministry people think I'm like just saying that to try to win them over. But it's actually true. Like I have seen, you know, just some of the most creative, the most energetic, the most engaged leaders within the kids environments. And actually, typically as a ministry grows, actually the, and you get over this, you know, 1,000 barrier and actually maybe start to develop a leadership team, a lot of times you'll see that the kids ministry person ends up actually, their role ends up elevating and they end up having a broader influence. Because what happens is we acknowledge, man, that's an incredible person. That's an incredible leader in this environment. And so kids ministry really does foster creative leaders. It's a place where if you're looking for great leaders to kind of not just make an impact in that area, but in other areas, it's a rich resource. Because I think, you know, creativity often comes from, you know, reduced resources, which we don't usually give kids ministry enough resources. And it's kind of the combination of reduced resources and then an ability to need to execute. And kids ministry is like the pressure zone for that. They don't have a lot of resources. And then it's like, oh my goodness, we've got tons of kids coming this weekend. We better come up with some sort of creative solution.
Is there a high amount of burnout for leaders in kids ministry having that pressure on them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that I think that is at the rub of why kids ministry is tough, because it's typically underfunded and underled. So, you know, we don't resource it as well as adult ministry. And you know, you see that where, you know, there just isn't enough, we're just not giving them enough resources. And so they don't have enough tools. They don't have enough staff. They don't, you know, all of those things. And then on top of that, there is the weekly grind, but it's a different weekly grind than adult ministry, because kids are just very demanding. You know, they're like, it's back to, we talked about this earlier. It's instant feedback. If it's not working, they'll tell you right away. And so you can't kind of play through, not that you can play through an adult ministry. And it also, the other piece of it is it typically demands much more team orientation. So you need a lot of people to do it, and you need those people to all work together. And that just is demanding, because we all know people, working with people is demanding.
Yeah, absolutely. So our next point we're talking about, kids ministry can be a growth cap. Mm-hmm. When I was reading through, I loved the points that you make in this, mm-hmm. because it's not only true from a church aspect, but from a life aspect.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. So, you know, what we're talking about here in this point five is, you know, churches can kind of, their physical, either the physical environment or kind of the makeup of the church can actually slow down the growth. You can actually, just what's happening there can cause problems with, you know, with you not being able to reach more people. In fact, I was talking to a church once, and this is kind of a related point. I was talking to a church once, and they were experiencing, and they're going through an aggressive growth season. And I said to them, I'm like, well, what have you done different? Why is it that you're seeing that? And they said, well, you know what happened was we focused on getting our parking sorted out. And they said, you know, before, you know, when we looked like a year ago, it used to take 3.5 minutes or something like that for people to leave the property. And they said, we just charged our parking people to say, we've got to get that down in under a minute. And so they spent all this time, effort, and energy, and literally got people like for weeks on end, standing on the roof of their church with binoculars and trying to figure out the patterns. They repainted the lines, got a bunch of new team, and sure enough, got it down. And they're very proud, like, hey, you know, the average person now takes 45 seconds from when they close the door to when they get off the property. Now, why is that important? The interesting thing is they were able to, it was a more joyful experience. It was an easier thing for people to do. And so the weird part about it, which is super strange, is that parking was kind of capping their ability to tell people about the teaching of Jesus. To me, that's like, this is classic unseminary. It's like, that's the kind of thing we want to be talking about. Now, kids ministry there's all kinds of similar growth caps within kids ministry. So, you know, the child to team member ratio is a significant area. So if you have too many kids to leaders, when mom shows up and they, you know, look in the room and they're like, okay, there's 24 toddlers here and I see two teenagers, this isn't going to work.
That's, you know, terrifying.
People just won't come back. You know, if you walk down, and I've seen this before, I walk into a church and like, if you have a long distance to walk from your parking, sometimes mom will get a stroller and mom and dad will get a stroller and walk it, which is fine. But actually you can have, it doesn't take much for stroller parking to just become like overrun. Now we don't have that at our campuses because we're tight. But stroller, if you got too many strollers in your stroller parking, then again, it creates this, you know, freneticness, which we talk about in here, that just the kind of feel in a hallway when, you know, in between services, there's a line there between, we want it to be exciting and energetic, which typically means there's a lot of people, but we don't want it to be, you know, just like totally frenetic and totally, you know, like crazy.
Overwhelming is what I think of. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And actually, I was at a church that was, I don't know, within the last year, and they had opened a brand new campus. And I was walking through their hallways. And as you know, we're walking through the kind of general foyer, they had the very high, you know, 25-foot ceilings. But then as we got into the various kids' environments, actually, they brought the ceiling down. It was one of those kind of warehouse renovations things. They brought the ceiling down lower and lower. So actually by the youngest kids, the nursery area, it was at kind of a normal height. And so I said to them, I was like, why are you bringing the ceiling down here? What is that? And they said, well, they noticed when they first moved in that in the kids' environment areas, particularly as you get to younger, what they're trying to do is create what feels like a safer experience for people. And that what in the adult kind of foyer area feels wide open and like, oh, wow, this is great, this big soaring ceiling, actually for moms was well, little more slightly terrifying because it was like, I actually want this to feel a bit more secure. So actually bringing the ceiling down eventually to the, you know, just like kind of normal office ceiling height by the time you got to the youngest kids was a part of kind of reducing that craziness. And so, you know, it's good to kind of audit that and look into that. How does it feel in between services? You want it to feel fun. You don't want to feel it overwhelming.
Yeah, I know there's been times where I've sort of felt that. And I think there comes a time where if it's a new guest, they're kind of bound to feel that. I think that's fair to say. Eh? Like, this is the first time that they're kind of navigating this and going through these hallways. But I mean, if it's consistently a feeling of overwhelm, like, it's time to reach out to those moms and say, hey, like, how is this going for you? Like, you know, having a survey or being able to openly talk to them while they're in the hallway to check in. I think that's such a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a part of it, you know, getting out, even just, you know, during the service, kind of eyeballing, having, this is a great kind of job for someone who's been maybe on your guest connections team for quite a while. You can, and maybe they're, you know, sometimes you run into these volunteers who are like, they've kind of done everything and, you know, they've have lots of experience. What if you went to them and said, hey, we're going to charge you over the next month to just watch. I want you to watch moms, let's watch those interactions, and then maybe pull a few moms out and say, and dads out. I keep saying moms today, but moms and dads, you know, to pull them out and say, what, you know, how are you feeling? How can we, what would make this better, a better experience for you as you land here?
I think that's so, I mean, it's such a simple task, right? Mm-hmm. Just having a conversation with a person to see. I think sometimes that's fearful because you're worried a little bit of what that criticism is going to be like.
Right.
But I mean, ultimately, that's going to make those environments so much better. Yes. And it's going to make our lives as parents a little bit easier and probably more inclined to come back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, for sure.
Well, Rich, is there anything else you'd like to add to breaking this barrier with kids ministry?
All right. So there's two things. So in this article, one is in the article, I'm just going to tell you, go there. There's a couple other articles about breaking the 1000 barrier. I've done a bunch of writing on this and have got more coming in the future. So check that out. And the second thing is this, this is a pro tip, which is not anywhere in the post. This is extra content just because we love the people that listen to the podcast.
Next level.
I really do think, I don't know, it's funny. That's really stuck today. I really do think that moms judge the effectiveness of a church's kids ministry by their bathrooms. Now, wait with me for a second. You're like, what are you talking about? If you walk into the bathrooms in a church and you know, you look around, they need to reflect that, wow, this church is on their game. Their cleanliness, their tidiness, the design of them, they cannot look like they're like from a 70s horror movie. And unfortunately, I walk into a lot of church bathrooms and that is what they look like. They spend a lot of time in other environments, but actually the bathrooms, and particularly the bathrooms that we think moms are going to use, those ones are super important, critically important to ensuring. Now, as a mom, I want you to test me. Am I like way out here? I think this is true, but am I way out on the limb on this one?
It is so true. It's so nice. True. If I go into a washroom and I see Bath and Body Works hand soap, I'm instantly in love. And I can overlook some of the uncleanliness of a washroom because my hands are going to smell great.
Right.
But it is very true. Sometimes, do you do that at friends' houses as well?
Yeah, totally.
We're getting pretty personal here.
Personal here. But absolutely, I think bathrooms are super important for sure.
They are.
Often an overlooked piece of the puzzle for sure.
I wasn't expecting that question at all, but it is very true. And I think, you know what? There's that kind of surprise and delight for moms when you go into the washroom and it has everything that you need. It's just reducing that stress a little bit more.
Totally, absolutely. Definitely, most definitely, for sure, Vanessa.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and all of our other podcasts at unseminary.com. See you later.